Welcome back. For those of you joining us now, I'm Ethan Elkind, and this is Your Call's One Planet series. We are podcasting our show, and you can find out more information on our website at kalw.org. And you click on news, you can find our show listed there. You can also listen to our past shows on that website and sign up for our newsletter so you never miss a show, a topic, and you'll always find out what's coming up next here on Your Call. And if you have a show idea for us, we'd love to get listener suggestions for show topics. You can drop us a line at yourcall@kalw.org. So on Saturday, Senator Mike Lee of Utah withdrew his proposal to sell off public lands from the budget bill that's currently being considered by the U.S. Senate. But the GOP's budget bill is still quite devastating for the environment and the clean energy sector in particular, as well as frontline communities that are harmed by pollution and toxic chemicals. And according to the Washington Post, congressional Republicans are poised to reverse course on U.S. energy policy by wiping out hundreds of billions of dollars in incentives for solar and wind projects, as well as for consumers seeking to purchase everything from energy-saving appliances to electric vehicles. So we have a lot to talk about with the budget bill. But more specifically, we want to focus this second half of our show today on Senator Lee's push to sell off public lands, which he attempted to include in that budget bill. And this is going to be part of a longer-term push by Republicans like Senator Lee to sell off our federally managed lands. And to help us understand what's been going on, we are very pleased to be joined by Jimmy Tobias, who has written extensively about this topic. Jimmy is an investigative journalist and co-founder of Public Domain Media, which aims to provide robust investigative coverage on public lands and wildlife issues in particular. Jimmy's also a contributing writer at The Guardian and a contributor at The Nation. His work has appeared in the New York Times, Los Angeles Times, and numerous other outlets. Jimmy, so good to have you back with us here on Your Call. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we obviously have a lot to make sense of what is going on with Senator Lee of Utah trying to sneak in this provision to sell off millions of public lands in the West. The move backfired. He had to pull it. But what exactly was in that provision? Can you talk about what Senator Lee was proposing?
Yeah, well, you know, the first thing to say is for more than a decade now, there has been this movement afoot, spearheaded mostly by the leadership of the state of Utah, to really eradicate our federal public land system, either by transferring federal lands to state government control or to sell them outright. And Mike Lee is a key figure in that movement. He's sort of fanatically opposed to federal public lands, especially BLM and Forest Service lands. And so he snuck into this reconciliation bill, this sort of pet priority for him. And initially, his proposal would have sold off up to 3.2 million acres of BLM and Forest Service land across the American West. And, you know, my sense is that his goal is really an ideological one, and he wants to dismantle as much federal public lands as possible. But he tried to sell he sort of framed this attempted sell-off as an effort to promote affordable housing development across the West. But he seems to have badly miscalculated, because not only, you know, were sort of liberal groups and environmental groups outraged, but there was this furious backlash by younger conservatives, you know, everyone from Joe Rogan to Chris Rufo to Donald Trump Jr. Tons of just outrage on the internet, phone calls, all sorts of efforts by hunters and anglers to push back on this. And it was just this for like 10 straight days, it was this ferocious backlash. And ultimately, after several attempts to sort of water down the bill and compromise on it, he just had to withdraw it completely. It was a pretty catastrophic loss for this anti-public land movement.
And what lands were at risk here of being sold off? I mean, are we talking about, you know, lands adjacent to national parks, or are we talking about maybe other federal lands that wouldn't be as environmentally sensitive? What kinds of lands were at issue here?
These were BLM and Forest Service lands. You know, the provision explicitly excluded national parks, wilderness areas, things like this. But one of the things that people were so upset about, it was the bill was pretty vague on what would end up getting sold. So no one knew for sure if their favorite fishing hole was going to get sold, or their favorite hunting ground, or their favorite hiking spot was going to get sold, you know. So these were Forest Service and BLM lands that weren't parks, but you know, those are the lands really that people rely on the most to do the kind of outdoor recreation that's so meaningful, from hunting and fishing to hiking and camping. And yeah, it was just it was I was kind of shocked. I was shocked by the outrage from the younger conservatives. I didn't realize that there was such a depth of support for the broad public land system in this rising generation. And they brought his provision down. So it was quite something to witness.
Well, it's also interesting that you even have figures like Donald Trump Jr. How much was Senator Lee coordinating with the MAGA movement or with the Trump White House in general? Was there a coordination there, or was Senator Lee really kind of going out beyond where the political center of the Republican Party is right now?
Yeah, it seems like he went out on a limb and that limb broke. But you know, there are efforts by the Trump White House to sell some lands for housing and things like that. I mean, the Interior Department and HUD have convened sort of a task force to look into that. So it's not like this threat to public lands is gone. And of course, the state of Utah remains committed to its goal of seizing, you know, millions of acres of public lands within its borders. But it really showed the depth of bipartisan support for public lands. And I think it might shift the Republican Party moving forward on this issue, because this younger generation seems to be very committed to maintaining these public lands in public hands.
Yeah, and if you're just joining us, we're speaking with Jimmy Tobias, investigative journalist and co-founder of Public Domain Media, about the effort led by Republican Utah Senator Mike Lee to sell off millions of acres of public land in the West. And I want to go ahead and open up the phone lines for you, our listener. If you use public lands, enjoy them, and are concerned about this proposal, or have thoughts about what this proposal could mean, or if it will be coming back in any form, we would love to hear from you, our listeners. The number to call to join the conversation is 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. Or you can go ahead and send us an email to yourcall@kalw.org. And Jimmy, you mentioned that this proposal is essentially dead in the budget bill. And I wanted to get a sense of, first of all, how dead is it? I am seeing some reports that there was updated language in the bill directing the Secretary of the Department of Interior to select for sale a certain percentage of Bureau of Land Management land. I'm not sure if that has been stricken, or if it has been stricken, what are the chances that Senator Lee will try to bring this back through some other legislative vehicle going forward?
Yeah, the whole thing was stricken. I mean, he pulled it. And ultimately, what forced his hand was that four Republican senators, the two senators from Idaho and the two senators from Montana, refused to vote for the bill if he moved forward with this. And there were also five Republicans in the House who wrote a letter saying, "We will not vote for the bill if this provision is included." So, you know, he ran up against a wall of opposition even among Republicans. And I think, you know, legislatively, his chances aren't very good, because, you know, the reason he did it in the reconciliation bill is because there was a lower threshold of votes needed to pass it. There's no way he would get 60 votes to pass a bill like this. So I think his plan is in trouble. But you know, there are other things going on. I mentioned that the Interior Department is looking into possibly selling off some public lands, again under the rubric of housing. It's unclear if this pushback on Lee is gonna sort of dampen enthusiasm within the Trump administration for that effort. That remains to be seen. But you know, the state of Utah itself is also still at work trying to basically take control over the federal lands within its borders. It filed a lawsuit with the Supreme Court last year to do so. The Supreme Court did not take up that lawsuit, but the state continues to run a really sophisticated public relations campaign to try to turn public sentiment against federal lands. They're spending, you know, $2.6 million on a PR firm to run ads and TV spots and things like that, billboards, you know, social media campaign. So that, you know, th this anti-public lands movement runs deep, particularly in the state of Utah. And I don't see them giving that effort up right now, at least this older generation of politicians. I think you know, again, like the younger people on both the right and the left have a very different vision of public lands than some of the older groups. So, but you know, this was a big loss for their movement. Really, it was catastrophic, and I think it might be the beginning of the end for that movement.
And that multi-million dollar campaign that you just described, you covered that in a lot of depth in the High Country News, and I do want to ask you about that. But first, let me just ask you, why Utah? Why is that state showing, so much persistence on this issue of trying to sell off federal lands?
That's a really good question. I don't know, it's hard to say. I will say that, the state of Utah has a long history of conflict with the federal government, dating back to the days of the Mormon pioneers. And I think that informs this for sure.
And let's talk about that multi-million dollar media campaign, because your piece in High Country News, as I mentioned, really goes into a lot of detail on that. Can you talk about what folks in Utah were funding and what that effort involved?
Yeah, this was a PR campaign to support the state's lawsuit that it filed with the Supreme Court. And it's on, the state signed a contract with a PR firm in Utah called Pena Powers for something like $2.6 million. And they were just running tons of ads. They hired actors, made videos, social media spots. They used focus groups. Everyone had to sign an NDA, and they kind of relentlessly push this message that the federal government is like a bad absentee landlord that mismanages land, and Utah really is the good guy. They want to ensure public access to land, and it's really, I think it just speaks to the depth of their commitment to this cause that they've embraced. But it also kind of strikes me as a last-ditch effort. The Supreme Court's denied them. The Senate has denied them. They don't have many more avenues to turn to. But yeah, so we published this story on this PR campaign. We got like hundreds of records through public records requests and other means. I mean, we just kind of did a deep dive into the specific messaging and the specific tactics they used. And I think, it's worth a read for anyone who's interested in kind of the strategy behind this broader anti-public land movement.
Yeah, any highlights that you want to share, things that our listeners should be aware of in terms of how these PR campaigns work and how they're targeting people and public opinion?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that really stood out to me is, the people who were running this campaign were very hesitant to include imagery of really beautiful public lands in their campaign because they didn't want people to turn against them and say, "Oh, actually, these should be conserved and protected." So they were very careful not to include too many beautiful vistas in their messaging. And it's similar to what Mike Lee, his kind of line when he was pushing his bill, his provision in the reconciliation bill, he kept saying, "Oh, we're not going to sell any like really beautiful places. These are just garden variety parcels that are unused." And everyone kept saying to him, like, "These public lands are so important to us. It doesn't matter if they look like Yosemite or not. The fact that we can go out on them and hike on them and fish on them and hunt on and then on them, and the fact that we own them as the American public, that's what matters." And so, it's just this line where they're kind of trying to convince people that these lands don't matter, and it's okay to sell them off or hand them over to Utah. And it's clear that the public does not agree with that messaging.
And Jimmy, are there any specific economic interests here that might be behind some of this push? I gather that it's probably mostly ideological, but who are the sort of economic players who might stand to benefit from this type of PR campaign and this selling off of public lands?
Well, I mean, I think it's relevant to mention that the Mormon Church itself is one of the largest landowners in the country, and has huge land holdings across from coast to coast. So, that may or may not play a role, but it's definitely something to note. And obviously, real estate developers and housing developers were in favor of Mike Lee's, bill. And they are also, the real estate industry has been a big contributor to his election campaign. So, that very well may have influenced his thinking, but yeah,
Certainly worth pointing out, but pretty fascinating.
right.
Well, I want to remind listeners that we're speaking with Jimmy Tobias, investigative journalist, co-founder of Public Domain Media, which aims to provide robust investigative coverage on public lands and wildfire issues. And we're talking about the Utah-led push to try to sell off our federally managed public lands. The phone lines are open. If you use public lands for camping, recreation, or maybe if you would agree with Mike Lee's approach and would like to see some of them sold off, we would love to hear from you, get your perspective. The number to call to join the conversation, 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. Or you can send us an email to yourcall@kalw.org. Jimmy, one of the questions I had for you was, obviously, the Utah delegation, at least through Mike Lee, is very in favor of selling off public lands. But there was opposition from other states, like in Montana, that also has a fair amount of federally managed land. What do you think might be the difference, or what was some of the perspectives that you heard from those Republicans representing those other Western states with a lot of federal land, why they were opposed to this when Utah is obviously pushing this?
Yeah, Montana. I used to live in Montana, and it just has a really deep connection to federal public lands, and it's very bipartisan and has been for a long time. You know, one of the loudest voices against Mike Lee's proposal was Representative Ryan Zinke, who was one of the Interior Secretaries during Trump's first term, and he sort of alluded to Theodore Roosevelt and said, like, "This is my San Juan Hill. I will not be voting for this bill if this provision remains in it." So, you know, he came out really strong against it. And as did the senators from Montana and Idaho. They made public statements in recent days saying, "We're not going to vote for this thing." It's hard to say exactly why. I do think there's cultural differences between those states and Utah, with its sort of like power elite is very different from the power elite in places like Idaho and Montana. It's a really interesting question. It's one I think a lot of people scratch their heads and say, why Utah? But they are sort of the leaders. They're the main, Utah politicians are the main group leading this charge against our federal lands.
And thinking about that PR campaign, is there any evidence that it might have moved public opinion in any way? What do you, how do you assess the outcomes, I guess, of this PR campaign that they waged?
Yeah, that's a great question. Every year, Colorado College does a poll on Western land issues, and they always kind of ask about public support for our federal public lands, public support for or against, you know, the land transfer anti-public land movement. I mean, even in Utah, their most recent poll showed that 57% of voters in Utah oppose public land transfers, so a big majority. Their most recent poll hasn't come out. You know, I think it'll be out later this year. So it'll be interesting to see if that percentage changes. But there's really no evidence that the state of Utah is making major inroads with voters. I think on the contrary, they may be losing people as you know, new younger people move to Utah. People love Utah for its federal public land. So I think the public is moving in the opposite direction of this movement. Mm-hmm.
Well, given that dynamic, what do you think is next? I mean, is this dead for good, or could you imagine some steps that these backers are going to take to kind of regroup and try again?
I think their best chance is in the courts, somehow getting a favorable court opinion. You know, they may refile their lawsuit in district court and then try to get to the Supreme Court that way. But, you know, I think they're running out of, like I said before, I think they're running out of options. And it's clear that these younger conservatives are not on board with this effort. So it may be a movement that fizzles ultimately, but it certainly hasn't fully fizzled yet. I think there will definitely be more to come.
And Jimmy, I have to ask you, we've got a few minutes left here, but I didn't want to let you go without asking you about Public Domain Media. I know you're a co-founder, and as I described in introducing you, it aims to provide robust investigative coverage on these exact issues of public lands and wildlife issues. Can you talk about Public Domain Media, what it does, and why you work to co-found it?
Yeah, it's a news desk I founded with two fellow reporters, both of them formerly at HuffPost. And we do aggressive accountability reporting on public lands, on wildlife, and on federal environmental agencies, especially the U.S. Interior Department, which is sort of the big one. And yeah, we launched earlier this year, and it's been really, really great. We've done a ton of coverage of the new Trump administration. We obtained a leaked draft strategic plan that outlines the administration's plans for the Interior Department. We were the first to uncover the key DOGE operatives that are working at the Interior Department. We've been investigating a bunch of former lobbyists who have taken roles at the Interior Department under Trump. We're obviously covering this reconciliation bill. We're covering, the efforts by the state of Utah to seize public lands. And really just trying to, we use FOIA, public records requests, and sourcing within the government to just uncover things that people wouldn't know otherwise. And I think we wanted to launch this thing because the Interior Department and public lands and wildlife in general, we felt were undercovered, especially from an investigative approach. And so that's what we wanted to provide as a service to the public. And for your listeners, if anyone wants to check us out, we're at publicdomain.media. And we partner with outlets like High Country News and The Intercept and others when we publish stories sometimes. So that's what we did for the Utah land seizure story.
Well, we will put post. I think we already have posted some of your reports on our website, and definitely want listeners to go check that out, publicdomain.media, to get more information and find out everything that's coming up. And just very briefly, anything you want to preview, any new reports coming out that you want to preview
Well,
here?
we're gonna do some analysis on the collapse of Mike Lee's provision. And yeah, we have a bunch of investigative stories in the works, and we just published a big investigation into one of the new political appointees at the Interior Department, who went from working as a lobbyist for the offshore oil industry straight to working on offshore oil industry policy at DOI. Highlighted some of the ethical concerns that people are raising about his conduct since taking office. So that was one of our most recent investigations, and more to come.
Well, we have a lot of topics we'd love to get you back on your call to talk about. Congratulations on starting Public Domain Media. And thanks again for joining us, Jimmy Tobias, investigative journalist, providing robust investigative coverage on public lands and wildlife issues. Thank you for joining us on Your Calls One Planet series today.
Thank you so much for having me. Always a pleasure.
And that is our show for today. Your Call is produced at KALW in San Francisco. And to listen to past shows or sign up for our podcast, you can visit our website at kalw.org and click on news. You can find our show there. You can also find us on iTunes, where you can give us a review. And of course, you can email any show ideas and feedback you have to yourcall@kalw.org. Malihei Razazan produced today's show. Tarek Ansari is our studio engineer. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Ethan Elkind, and it's Your Call.
First, this news.